Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to be here among fellow believers. It is my desire to share my testimony for baptism in and for the glory of God. I do not have an exact date when I was born again, but I can say with Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. I can also say, as a blind man did in John 9:25, I do not know. One thing I do know, that being blind, now I see. Another verse in Luke 5:24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. At the age of 3, my father was ordained as deacon in the Old Order Amish Church. Even as a 3-year-old, I keenly felt the change that came through that. Being the oldest of 8 children, I was dependent on at a young age, often feeling overwhelmed as my father took care of field work and deacon duties. At the age of 5, I was informed about facts of life by school friends, which was more than my small mind and heart could handle. Also, at a young age, I was very keen to what others were thinking, often feeling insecure. Things like this soon became strongholds and set patterns in my life. Hell was very real, and God seemed far away. At 11, my father built a new barn, which was a big project. At the age of 12, my mother was hospitalized with serious back problems. At the age of 14, my father became very ill. Somehow, as the oldest, I felt responsible for my parents, the farm, and for all the things that were happening. At this age, I really did want to go to heaven because I was very afraid of hell. At the age of 16, I started with a youth group, which I highly enjoyed, and later joined the church that year. By this time, I had developed a self-righteous attitude. I felt I was better than most other people because I stayed closer to the rules of the church. I also thought if I do all the rules of the church and obey my parents just right, I would go to heaven. At this age, I began smoking, which was against my parents' wishes. At the age of 19, I finally broke free from that habit again. At the age of 18, my parents sold the farm. Again, I felt responsible for the pain my parents and brothers and sisters were going through. By this time, I had the thinking pattern that if everything was going well, God must be pleased. If things were not going well, God must not be pleased. By this age, I was hoping I would be able to say, God be merciful to me, a sinner, just before I died, because that seemed to be my only chance to get to heaven. At that age, I met Barbara. At the age of 20, I started a cabinet shop. At the age of 21, Barbara and I were married. The future looked bright and hopeful. At the age of 22, our first son was born. Life was good for the most part, but by now there were some struggles and family problems that had never been dealt with or talked about. Again, I felt responsible. We tried to get more spiritual insight by having daily Bible reading, but it was meaningless and over our understanding, and besides, we felt different, as none of us were used to that before marriage. We were taught that the Bible was true, but that you can read it too much. I started asking questions about the Bible and was told by an older person that I asked too many questions. By another older person, I was told that a lot of God's Word would always be a mystery. So life went on. God was someone to call on when I needed Him, but now I have by now I had become independent and very self-reliant. Over the years, our struggles grew. The harder I tried, the worse things became. I became bitter, angry, and fearful. Depression and chronic fatigue set in. It was a very stressful time for us. I got to the point where I didn't trust anyone. I became desperate and tried praying daily, hoping that would help. I asked Jesus to please let my whole family go to heaven, but please have mercy, I asked. I was so afraid that he would take one of the children to get us ready for heaven. I didn't know what it would take to get us ready. At the age of 26, my mother was hospitalized at Phil Haven. Mental illness was looked down on and misunderstood, and added confusion in my life. Again, I felt responsible for what was happening. When my mother came home a week later, her talk frightened me. She talked about some things she had gone through. She also talked about the cross and about the blood of Jesus and how that was our only hope to ever see Jesus or get to heaven. For the first time in my life, I was tempted to call my mother a liar. It's very frustrating. I depended on the system. I felt I knew this was different from what I had ever heard before or noticed before. Over this time, I took a long walk. The further I walked, the more I thought, the more I realized that what she had shared might be true. I really wanted to go to heaven, so I asked Jesus to cover me in his blood. At the age of 27, we sold the cabinet business to one of my brothers. This was a hard time for us. For the first time, I sensed the presence of Jesus. Later that year, one morning, I awoke. The clock was striking 3. I sat up in bed with a start. I was asking for something I had never asked before. I was asking God for the Holy Spirit. I asked God, is that something I need? I got out of bed and went into the kitchen and I opened up my Bible. It fell open to 1 John. I read chapter 1 through 5 and was amazed at what I read. To this day, those chapters are still special to me. From that day on, I started to question what our church was teaching. Between the age of 27 and 30, I read a book titled Jabez's Prayer, which impacted me very much. We also started to get Christian counseling and started to see a doctor. As time went on, I just longed to believe the Bible from cover to cover. But what was being taught and what the Bible taught just wasn't coming together. This was very frustrating. Many a Sunday, I would come home from church and pace the floor or just go for a walk. There were times I would walk for miles till I would get tired and then walk some more. Somehow, I would get peace through that. In 1999, I started the business that we now have. I now realize that I started the business a lot for the wrong reasons. I was looking for acceptance and security in all the wrong places. As time went on, the struggles became harder. There was no time for anything worthwhile. Time went faster and faster till there seemed to be only a few hours to a month. One Sunday, I read the Jabez prayer book again. This time it touched me even deeper than before. I started to include the Jabez prayer in my prayer time. Not long after that, while praying one morning, a deep longing to know what salvation was all about came over me. I started asking Jesus, Jesus, I realize that you have come and died on the cross and shed your blood for me, but how does it work? I would really like to know how it works. I know it's a gift and that I should just accept it like a child would, but I would really like to know what your dying on the cross has to do with saving me. I said to him, if I need to be punished for asking too much, please have mercy on me and forgive me. Nothing happened and neither did he punish me. A few days later, while praying, I asked him again if he would show me how salvation works. This was about March or April of 2005. A couple months later, in June, we took a week-long human relationship and awareness course. That week we became aware of things in our lives that we had not been aware of before. I started to realize how bent my thinking patterns were. It seemed like I had to bring every thought in my mind captive and into the obedience of Christ. After the course, life slowed down to a normal pace. I started to notice things I hadn't noticed before, like the flowers, how green the grass was, how pretty the trees were, how blue the sky was. It felt like a large weight had been lifted off of me. There were days when I lifted my hand to my forehead to feel if it was still there. I felt so light. I started to notice the children in a way I had never noticed them before. The Bible started to make more and more sense to me. For the first time in our 16 years of marriage, Barbara and I started praying out aloud together. For the first time, we were seeing each other heart to heart. Oh, what a joy that brought into our marriage. After we took the course, the church punished us by silencing us for 3 months. The rejection from the church and relatives was a staggering blow to me. One of the biggest fears in my life was the fear of rejection. The news about how we had been punished spread throughout the county. In the next month, we gained many friends. Many a night was spent with friends searching the scriptures for answers. One Tuesday morning in October, we were asked if we would like to be at peace with the church and come before the council the following Sunday. We said yes. On Friday afternoon of that week, I received a phone call from a friend. He apologized to me about something that had happened years before. I accepted his apology, but to me it wasn't a big deal. He sensed that and was puzzled that it didn't affect me more. We chatted a little and then went to hang up. Out of impulse, I asked him to explain how I had affected him in that situation. He told me how I had affected him, and it described me to the T. I was shocked. And all of a sudden my eyes were open, and I saw the self-righteousness in my life. After the phone call, I sat down. As I sat there, I saw my sinful state. Sin after sin came before me. As each sin came before me, I took them to the cross. This went on for several hours. Saturday of that week was peaceful. On Sunday morning, Barbara and I knelt in prayer. Oh, what a joy, before going to church. While praying, it started again. Sin after sin, kept coming before me. As each sin came, I took them to the cross. After some time, it was time to go to church. On the way to church, sins kept coming. While sitting in church, the sins kept coming until about 10 o'clock and then stopped. For several minutes, everything was quiet and peaceful. And then I had a vision. In the vision, I saw my wife and children's souls. Each one looked like a pillow with a white pillow sheet. Each one looked like it had been dragged across the dirt. Inwardly, I groaned, knowing that I had not been the husband and father that I should have been. I asked Jesus if I could be responsible for my children, for my wife and children. Instantly, the pillars turned into bright, shining stars. Immediately, a weight of uncleanness settled on me. Immediately, I took it to the cross. After that, there was peace so great it seemed like it was everywhere. It was over that time that I realized that Jesus had answered my prayer. He had showed me my sinful state. He showed me what salvation was all about. He showed me that self was on the throne of my heart. He showed me that it was through Him alone that I could be saved. I accepted the gift of salvation, and I no longer doubted if I would go to heaven or not. From there on, I have one goal, one priority. From here on, I was single-eyed. I knew my wife and children were not saved. There was nothing left in life that I wanted more than my family saved and all together in heaven someday. We started going to Bible studies, prayer meetings, and seminars, and also winter Bible school. Revelation after revelation kept coming to me as time went on. Many times after a revelation, I would soon afterwards come to that truth in the Bible. It was amazing. It was a very exciting time. One day while talking to our doctor, I asked him, "Doc, did you know that you were working with a person with a messed up mind?" He said, "Yes, Wilmer, I knew that." I asked him, "Well, why didn't you tell me?" He answered me and said, "If I'd have told you, you would have gotten upset and would have left and never came back." "You're right," I said. He knew me pretty good. I asked him, "Well, Doc, how in the world was I supposed to find these things out?" The answer he gave me still means a lot to me today, especially when I see someone struggling and coming to the light knowing what they may be facing. He said, "When the student gets ready, the teacher arrives." That is so true. Looking back, every time we were ready, God sent someone or something into our lives that helped us with the next step. On Labor Day in 2006, about 12 of us men got together to spend the day together fellowshipping, sharing, praying, and watching helpful DVDs. That day my eyes were open to something I had never realized before. I knew God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Ghost were one. But somehow I was still seeing Jesus meekly, humbly, and earnestly praying on my behalf to a big, gruff, stern God who held the law tightly. For the first time in my life, I realized that Jesus had also come to show us the Father. From that day on, the prodigal son story took on a new meaning for me. I had never before seen the prodigal son's father as God watching the horizon for me. And when he would at last see me, he would come running to greet and hug me. This was a huge life changer for me. And for the first time since being a small schoolboy, I wept in public. It didn't matter anymore. Since that, Barbara and our four boys have given their lives to Christ. Praise God. What a difference you have made in our lives. Revelations are still coming, and we are still being sanctified. Relatives, friends, and the church have rejected us, and yes, we still have our trials and struggles. But one thing I know, God is my Father, and I am His child. The promise Jesus gave us in Mark 10:29-30 has become true. "Truly I say to you, there is no man that has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or child, or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and the world and in the world to come eternal life. We realize that we are leaving the securities of Egypt behind and that the Red Sea is closing in behind us. We're pressing on. We press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to thank the congregation for welcoming us here as a church. Please pray for us as we press on. I desire to be baptized.
I greet you all in the name of Jesus. Please pray for me. I need all the prayers that you can pray. Sharing a testimony is not easy when there is a painful past. My whole being fought and resisted the idea of sharing. It seems so much easier to block out the past, which is what I did to survive. But denial and pretending does not bring healing. It only hinders it. Only by being honest and open about the past can God heal the pain and wounds. I struggled with the idea of our children hearing what I struggled with growing up, but I am starting to see that being honest about our past will only strengthen our relationship. God will heal what we reveal. After years of emotional pain and hours of prayer, God is revealing to us some abuses that happened early in life. My soul was shattered before I could walk or talk. I am the oldest of a family of 11 children. My parents buried 5 little girls, all dwarfs, so there are only 6 of us living. Some of my earliest memories are ages 4 to 5 years old. Life became overwhelming, almost more than I could handle. My parents had a dwarf baby with heart problems. She would turn blue, and my parents were in and out of the hospital a lot. We children often went to our grandparents or the neighbors. At 6 months of age, the baby died. The day after the funeral was my first day of school. School looked frightening to my grieving heart, and I desperately didn't want to go. My mother struggled for a couple weeks getting her crying child to school. I became hysterical about dentist visits, etc., and life became something to fight against. And all during this time, ages 4 to 6, there were repeated abuses from a neighbor boy, which started a path of shame and guilt. The neighbor family moved, which stopped the abuses. Life became easier and settled into a routine. School was no longer a threat, and I became a lively, sometimes mischievous girl at school, testing and teasing the teacher, looking for attention. A new family moved in, and those children seemed to know all about the facts of life and teased us with it, which set my world into confusion again. I was also getting mailbox Bible clubs, and at the end of each lesson, they asked if we want to ask Jesus to come into our hearts and be saved, and I asked him many times, but it seemed nothing happened. I also overheard an uncle say that he'd rather sing Darling Nellie Gray and other lighthearted songs than the songs that were about assurance of salvation. That left a big impression on my heart, and I started to question a lot of the songs that we sang. We were taught that having such assurance was a bad thing. At age 10, a girl in my grade, who was also my second cousin, was hospitalized with anorexia nervosa, an eating disorder where young girls or boys can starve themselves to death. It is also an emotional sickness. It shocked the whole neighborhood. This was unheard of. People fussed and gossiped. Life was perplexing. When I was 11, a stillborn sister died. I became depressed and I couldn't understand what was wrong with me. Everyone else seemed to be okay. And 3/4 year later, I was hospitalized with anorexia for 2 months. I felt tired, hopeless, and dead inside. I remember telling my mother I wish I could die and go to heaven. She said someday she hopes I will, but now is not the time.
I resented being hospitalized and had lots of suppressed anger inside. I became controlling of family members and what they ate. I know my parents suffered during that time. They and the doctors focused on weight gain and eating patterns, not realizing this was an emotional sickness due to wounds of the past. The time came when everyone declared I was healed and they rejoiced. I looked okay on the outside again, but inside I was far from healed. 4 months after being hospitalized, another baby sister died. She lived 2 months. At 14 years old, I went through girlhood changes, and fear and depression became larger mountains than ever. I tried to come close to God, but he seemed like such a stern and angry being that I couldn't get close. I read my little pocket Bible, but it seemed to condemn me. I tried singing, but it was lifeless. I panicked at the thought of hell, and often woke up at night restless and fearful. I wanted to confide in my mother, but somehow I couldn't seem to. I went as far as my parents' bedroom door one night, but couldn't force myself to knock, so I tried to sleep again. Bad, evil thoughts kept tormenting me, which only made me feel more wicked. I tried to push away violent and suicidal thoughts, but they came anyway. Surely God's hand was with me and protecting me. As I was nearing 16, my friends and I started thinking of which youth group to join, and I gradually locked up the nightmares of the past, hoping they would fade away. I put my heart into friendships and youth activities and became a fun-loving, energetic girl with plenty of friends. My attitude towards life was much more positive, and God seemed closer. After 2 months with the youth, Wilmer asked for my friendship, and we started a courtship. After 1 year, I ended the friendship. My father and grandfather were upset with me and let me know they are very displeased. Some of the old insecurities came back, and I couldn't go to God about this because he seemed to be displeased with me too. After a few months, Wilmer and I continued our courtship again. Wilmer's attitude and friendliness won me, and I never again doubted that this was God's will. During our courtship, another baby sister died. This one was especially hard to part with, as she was almost a year old and we had hoped she would grow up normal. I remember crying out to God and sensing his comforting presence. And that was one of the first times I felt his presence. Just felt it. 4 months after we married, another baby sister was stillborn. This was very hard on my parents. They realized it was one of their last ones. And for the first that I remember, my mother and I wept in each other's arms. That same year, our oldest son was born. We had high hopes as we settled down to married life, and though I was a very insecure young wife, I was determined to make our marriage a happy one. The first 3 years were mostly pleasant, and by that time we had 2 little boys and were living in Wilmer's parents' basement where we lived 4.5 years. Wilmer's cabinet shop was in his parents' barn. I felt confident and ambitious when we moved there and decided I would help my husband succeed by helping in the shop whenever possible. At that time, Wilmer's parents were going through difficult times with personal struggles and trials, and there was a lot of tension and stress in the air. Gradually, I began to wonder if we were actually welcome there, and I began to feel resentful and begged my parents to help us find a place to live. At that time, my father was involved in Wilmer's cabinet shop business, and things weren't going as well as he had hoped. One of my father's top priorities was to succeed financially, and he was determined his son-in-law would too. I could sense his displeasure, and I became frustrated with my husband that he wasn't measuring up to my dad's standards. Relationships became a nightmare with both sets of parents, and Wilmer and I drifted apart. There seemed to be no place open to rent, and I felt stuck, trapped, and bitter. And I take full responsibility for the bitterness. I chose that path. I don't blame the circumstances. It was my choice. Depression settled in, and I reached a very low point in my life. Suicidal thoughts became stronger, and I no longer trusted myself. I wanted to ask for help, but somehow couldn't. Panic attacks were common those years, and fear was a constant companion. Wilmer's grandmother was the first to notice how serious it is and advised Wilmer to get me started at Anderson Chiropractic Center, a chiropractor who also takes blood tests and prescribes vitamins. He put me on a lot of vitamins and gradually I felt better. After living in the basement 4.5 years, my parents bought land and put up a house and barn for us. Due to feeling duty-bound to help his married children and yet frustrated with our lack of performance financially as we owed him a good amount of money, my father became very angry and exasperated over that time. Painful, hurtful words were said and bitterness prevailed. In spite of all that, the new house nestled close to the quiet little woods did much to soothe my heart. I longed to see cardinals, and one morning outside my bedroom window I saw one. To me that meant God does care after all. Our marriage relationship was hurting deeply though and very stressful. Only God and our conscience kept us together through those awful days. I remember Wilmer threatened several times to leave the Amish church, and I vowed within myself that if he ever did, I would stay. I was brought up to believe that leaving the church was one of the greatest sins. Finally, in desperation, I pleaded with Wilmer to let me go for counseling. The very reluctant and warning me that I was going down the same path his mother was, he let me go. His mother was in Phil Haven around that time. I went to some very dear Amish friends, an older couple who was doing counseling among the Amish. I went for one-on-one counseling and also sessions for groups of women. Soon Wilmer joined me and we also got counseled together. Very slowly our relationship improved, and also with our parents. This couple became like parents to us, and she took me through Beauty for Ashes and other books to help heal from childhood abuses. Gradually, our hurting hearts were starting to heal. The years passed and we attended people helper meetings conducted by Amish ministers who wanted to reach out to depressed and mentally ill victims. The time came when we felt stuck again, spiritually, financially, emotionally, and physically drained. We asked God, what shall we do now? About that time, we heard about a course that was supposed to help businesses, relationships, personal struggles, and were warned strongly by ministers to stay away, and so we wanted to obey. After days of frustration, someone offered to pay our way through if we would just go. We worried and wondered how it would work out with the children, but we sensed God prompting us to go ahead, so we did. There we came face to face with some hidden issues of our lives, and our eyes were open to things we didn't see before. The last few days of the course, fear came over me again, and I suffered severe panic attacks. I dreaded going home and facing parents and church people, knowing full well we would likely get punished. My parents were very upset, and we did get punished by the church by being put out of council for 3 months. Relationships were stressful and tense, and hurtful things were said. The waters were rough and stormy. I did sense a strength and peace within that I knew came from God. Eventually, I got weary, though, and longed for peace with my parents and the church. My mother and sisters and I were used to getting together often, and I didn't like the tension between us. Besides that, they helped me a lot with work, and I didn't know how I'd manage without their help. And so I was ready to make peace with all these upset people and be one of them again. Sure enough, people smiled at us again, at least most times, and my parents and siblings received us with open arms. Mother felt sure that we felt better now that we had given up, but I was in for a surprise. Even though everything was okay outside again, the turmoil inside was increasing. As the months went on, I fell down the pit again of depression, hopelessness, despair, severe temptations, and strong attacks of the enemy. Demonic forces gripped me and tried to convince me to take my own life. I remember especially one day that Wilmer wouldn't let me alone for long, and he fought hard against the enemy for my sake. God gave him strength and urgency, and even though I begged him to leave me alone, he wouldn't go away. Praise God for protection. Wilmer's spiritual hunger was stronger than ever, and he wanted to attend every Bible study he knew of and take his family along. I pled with him to go and let me stay home, but he insisted we all go. I sensed the trouble he was getting us into again, and I resented that he forced me to get involved. Later, he found out that some churches had Bible schools, and much to my dismay, he arranged for us to go to Simmontown Bible School a few evenings a week through January of this year. I felt this was going much too far, and I went very resentfully, fearing what might happen if my parents and the church found out. My fears became reality, and the reactions just as I expected. My parents and sisters were shocked and afraid we would leave the Amish church. My mother pleaded with me to stay true to the vows I made with the church and not go with my husband if he leaves the church. By that time, I was getting tired of their control, and I knew deep down I'd stick with my husband. Relatives and friends sent warnings and pleaded through letters and visits to stay with the way we were raised. Feelings of condemnation and false guilt wanted to creep in. My parents came to visit one evening with a few of our uncles, and I felt frozen with fear and despair. The next evening, a couple came to visit that we had met a few times, and I was in no mood to visit and was still hurting from the evening before. So I busied myself with doing dishes and getting the girls ready for bed and avoided conversation as much as possible. When the children were all in bed, I had no excuse not to sit down, so I listened in on the conversation and felt myself warming up inside. These people seemed sincere and kind, and somehow I knew they're not here to hurt us. I joined in the conversation, and soon they asked me if I have assurance of salvation, and I had to say no. They asked if I would like to be born again, and I desperately wanted to, though I felt unsure if this would work, as I had asked Jesus many times to forgive me and come into my heart with no change. But before I knew what was happening, I was dumping my bucket and confessed everything I could think of. This couple stayed well into the night and prayed with me till we broke through. Praise God for saving my soul. I didn't feel or see anything drastically, but I sensed something had changed, at least a little. The temptation of suicide left, and some of the bondages and strongholds. We faced a lot of opposition with the choices we were making, but God strengthened us. Impossible mountains started moving by faith. God gently guided us to where He wanted us and still is. I'm not a finished product, but by the grace of God, I'm not what I once was. I am still receiving counseling to work through childhood issues. God still has plenty of sanctifying work to do in my heart. He is able to finish the work He started in me if I allow Him to. For a few weeks, I resisted the idea of giving a testimony and getting rebaptized. Yet I've known for a while that is what I need to do to break down more barriers and gain more victory. I asked myself if I could do it if all the people that so strongly oppose would be here looking on. And I vowed that I could and would. Praise God for victory in His name. I want to obey God's word by having a believer's baptism. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.